Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for this evening comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Please be seated. Could you imagine living so strangely that you root for two rival sports teams? Let's say, for example, you're a Cubs and a White Sox fan. That doesn't work. Even worse, what if you're a Buckeyes fan and you root for that team up north? Then you'd be really strange. Or even worse, what if you like both red and green tractors? Then you're just a heretic. Now, imagine living your entire life as somebody who likes two opposite things. It wouldn't really work that well. But actually, that's our life as baptized children of God. We're both a saint through his blood and death and resurrection. But we're also a sinner because of Adam and his sin and how that's carried out throughout the world. That rivalry between saint and sinner describes our entire life as Christians, and it makes our lives very uncomfortable. That idea of uncomfortability is something that comes up during Advent. Advent's a time when we reflect upon and we look forward to Christmas Day, remembering the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we remember his death and resurrection for us. But we also look forward to the second Advent, the final resurrection, the coming of God, with which there will be a new creation, and every tear will be wiped away, and everything will be made new. The idea of now and not yet describes our Advent season. That makes it pretty uncomfortable for us. Yet comfort, my people, is what God tells us through the prophet Isaiah, as we have just heard. Now, that text from Isaiah comes at a very uncomfortable time for the Jews. King Hezekiah was the king at the time, about the 8th century BC. And King Hezekiah was actually one of the better kings of Judah. Now, Hezekiah and Judah was surrounded by the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were not people you wanted to mess with. Let's think the most brutal army on earth times 1,000 or so. They killed everybody in sight, totally ruthless, and would rip your eyes out for looking at them wrong. That's actually true. Now, Hezekiah and Judah, they were surrounded by the Assyrians, and they didn't want to meet the same fate as some of their neighbors had already had happen to them, that is, being decimated. So King Hezekiah, being a faithful Jew, prayed to God for deliverance. And ultimately, God delivered Judah from the hands of the Assyrians and killed 85,000 of the Assyrian troops, and Jerusalem was spared. Now, you would think if you're Hezekiah, things would be smooth from then on. You would stay faithful to God and pray and keep your people in the true faith. That's not quite what happened. As we see time and time again in the Old Testament, Israel's kings were completely unfaithful and wanted nothing to do with God when they could just seek their own comfort there on earth. So Hezekiah puts out a message to the king of Babylon. So he sends an envoy to Jerusalem where they take inventory, so to speak, and they vow protection for Jerusalem and all of Judah. Now what happens is God doesn't like this at all. He tells Isaiah and Hezekiah that Jerusalem and Judah will be lost, just like the evil kingdom of Israel to the north. But that wouldn't happen for another few generations, 200 years or so. Hezekiah's response to this is that he's pleased with the word of the Lord. He doesn't have to worry about it. He's comfortable sinning and living in his ilk and idolatry as long as it doesn't affect him. Out of sight, out of mind, as the old adage goes. Hezekiah was comfortable. He just didn't care. We too are just like Hezekiah. The Lord continually provides us with what we need every day, yet we put our trust in things that aren't in him. we daily and constantly break the first commandment. The Catechism explains that the first commandment means that we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. We don't fear, love, or trust in God above all things. We constantly worry about what tomorrow will bring, and we find our comfort in materialism and all sorts of things in secular society that are totally against what our faith teaches. Instead of focusing on Jesus and his sacrifice for us during this time of Advent, most of us, myself included, focus on the materialistic things that our society pushes towards us as some sort of Christmas, as if that's the point. We're crippled with fear and doubt as well. God has given everything to us and promised us life through his Son, yet we still worry. Comfortable is what we're worried about. Being comforted, having those materialistic comforts, is sinful. Those sins like lust, greed, laziness, all sorts of things that are focused on our physical comfort are part of that sinful nature. Just like Hezekiah, we're always worried about being comfortable, putting our trust in false idols. Yet Jesus Christ, who loves us and cares for us through all of this, has promised comfort eternally through his sacrifice. God saw Hezekiah's infidelity and punished what he had done. Judah was crushed and completely decimated. The temple was destroyed and there was nothing left. Now, he still promised those promises to Judah in chapter 40. Right after he says he's going to smite them, he still promises deliverance for the faithful remnant. Comfort, even for God's people who turned their back on them and rejected his goodness, still were comforted. God was faithful to his people, as he still is to us today. We need that same comfort that Isaiah is talking about in the Old Testament. That same prophecy not only applied to the Jews in Judah nearly 2,700 years ago, it applied to the Jews looking for the coming of Christ, and it applies to us as we look forward to the final advent. The ending of all sorrows and doom that God's people had suffered for their entire existence is promised in those words from the prophet Isaiah. Verse 2 in particular says, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Even in the midst of suffering that was about to befall the Jews, God was still faithful to his covenant with their fathers, David and Abraham. That warfare that is spoken about is that same constant battle that we have between saint and sinner every day in our lives. For us, saint wins out. Because of the cross and because of God's eternal faithfulness to his people, our warfare is ended and our iniquity is pardoned. The cross puts the final blow to sin and death and doom and gloom. Just as Isaiah had written in the Old Testament, that prophecy is talking about Jesus. Yet the doubly paid for idea comes through just as well. The idea that our sins have been doubly paid for shows us that this is totally by God's grace. Nothing we have done could pay for our sins once, let alone twice. God's faithfulness to us and to his people through the cross have redeemed us and keep us in his eternal grace. Now, the cross made payment for all of our sins and rescued us from the impending doom of the devil. Yet we still do live in that dichotomy between saint and sinner. What are we supposed to do now while we wait as we reflect on his second coming? As we continually cling to the cross, we should keep our focus on God and make our ways straight and have him make our ways straight as he implores us to do through his law and his gospel. Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 40 speaks directly to us now. We're constantly comforted by the cross and Jesus' atoning work for us. Still, Isaiah follows up that promise by saying, "A voice cries in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.'" That voice in the wilderness, as we probably have heard before, is John the Baptist, as reflected in Luke's gospel. John the Baptist is often stated as the last Old Testament prophet and the one who directly fulfilled this prophecy. John preached a renewal of holiness and a focus on God. A cleansing baptism, as his name states, was meant to prepare the people as a renewal of holiness for the coming of Jesus. But Jesus comes just as John the Baptist prepared the people for. But still today, we're left with those words, "Prepare the way for the Lord." The life of the Christian should always be focused on preparing the way of the Lord. The Lord has given us his law that we fail to uphold every day, not so we could wipe our hands clean of it, but to guide us through a holy way of living. We live our lives in service to our neighbor, performing Christ-like acts of mercy and love, and we could repent and we confess of our sins as God, through the Holy Spirit, prepares us for the way of the Lord. The prophecy continues in the end by saying, "Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain." Right there, God is talking about you and I. We're both valleys and mountains, high and low. Our sins and pride will be crushed, and we'll be finally made perfect through Jesus coming again. No more battles, no more sin, no more death. As verse 5 states, "And all the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." This is the final advent. This is the end of everything sad and gloomy and dark in the world. The eternal light and eternal glory of Jesus will finally, once and for all, come to us forever. As we close, we reflect on Advent. We remember that Jesus came to us as an infant, as a newborn, as we look forward to Christmas and we get ready for the Christmas season. But we also look forward to the final Advent and his final coming. That paradox of now and not yet is the way that we live our lives as Christians. The battle between saint and sinner wages war in our lives and is the story of our lives as God's people. Yet, as we reflect on the promise, we realize there will be an end, and everything will finally be one in Jesus Christ. May this Advent be a time of reflection on our lives as God's baptized children, as we prepare for his coming again. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.